We are so glad you've joined Baraka Church as guest speaker Jeff Slider continues the series, Wired for Knowledge. We have all dreamt of finding hidden treasure, some to be rich, but all of us love the treasure hunt. It is said that one person's garbage is another's treasure. So what is it exactly, and where is it found? Today, we're hunting for treasure, and find some, of the greatest there is on earth, in an unexpected place.
Now, this is going to be the third and last message in the series from 2 Peter. I have really enjoyed exploring 2 Peter. You know, I've read it several times, I'm sure, in my life. But it really has hit home recently to me, and I hope it has for you as well. I hope that you have found it to be refreshing, challenging, and eye-opening, because it's about knowledge. Now, let me stop real quick here. I want to put another plug in for PIR. If you've not checked in, let me tell you, I went through PIR Ministries, and 1,500 pastors a month in America are exited from their ministry. That's 1,500. Only a small number of them are by retirement, and even a smaller number of them are by sin or removal. The great number are asked to leave for one reason or another, usually not particularly a biblical reason. So this is a wonderful ministry of recovery, recuperation, support, discipleship that goes on. I cannot speak highly enough of PIR. They brought three different pastors and Christian workers around me when I was taken out of a ministry. And I'll tell you what, it really restored my heart, my soul, and my passion for the Word. So if you have not checked in yet, do it, please. I think you will find that it's a wonderful ministry to check in for. Now, we are working on being wired for truth. Not just knowledge, truth, data, information. We have an awful lot of that going around today, don't we? Some of it's even real, okay? But it's truth and not myth. Let me read to you a passage of scripture that my wife brought to me in devotions the other day. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers that suit their own passion. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Boy, if that doesn't really sum up where we are as a culture and as a world and as a people, I can't tell you any more truth than that. We have wandered into pleasing thoughts and mindsets, and 2 Peter connects us with that knowledge that we should be enjoying, that knowledge that we should be imbibing in on a regular basis in order to maintain our health and well-being, our relationship with the Lord. But this world is going to work hard to rip you apart from that relationship. So the first week we were together, we had chapter one was the trustworthy knowledge that leads to that gift of salvation, that growth in Christ, and the fact that it is a grounding that is unshakable. It's a foundation stone. God's truth needs to be the very building block of our very lives. Chapter two, last week, we talked about treasonous knowledge. That is taking the truth of God, the Word of God, and twisting it to meet one another or someone else's false ideas. And we talked about the fact that those who do such are condemned. We talked about the characteristics of those who do such. And we talked about the claims that they make and how empty and shallow and pointless they are. Well, today we're going to look at, finally, chapter 3. I like to call this the treasure or triumph of knowledge. And really, it is a lot of warnings in here, okay? But what I like most about this treasure and triumph is the way that it's presented. These warnings, these admonitions, these points are given to us in such a way that God says, I want my child to be safe. Let me ask you a question. If you could think of anybody in the entire world that would speak your name and say, this person is special to me, who would it be? Who would bring you to tears if they said, this person is special to me? Some people might come up with, maybe a great actor. I don't know. Maybe you're so taken by their grandeur and by their talent and their ability that if they were to say, oh, that Jeff Slider is really special to me, it would bring you to tears. I don't know of any of those folks. Maybe it's a famous athlete. Maybe it's somebody who has done things you could never imagine. I had the privilege of meeting Archie Griffin several times, and in one context, he said, I appreciate what you do. Man, that about brought me to tears. Maybe it's a great leader, either historic or present, who has so helped mankind and humanity, and maybe proclaiming the word of God that if they said, you know what, that Mikey man is such a great guy, it'd make him cry. I've got good news for you. You know, the Creator, that's the one who made all this. The eternal God, the Almighty God, the Holy God. And you can fill in all those names that the Scriptures call Him by. And the angels say, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. And day and night they worship at His throne because there is none other, no one like Him. And if the knowledge of Him doesn't give you goosebumps, then my friend, you're not paying attention. I've got really amazing news. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what that God calls you? Beloved. He calls you beloved. Can you imagine that? And He doesn't just call everybody who knows Christ, beloved, He calls you by name because your name is written down in the book of life because you have accepted His Son, His sacrifice for your sin. And then He says, you're my child. And He says, you are beloved. He uses Peter to give an admonition to his beloved. And four times, those who know Christ as their Savior are called beloved. And my friends, if it doesn't make you tear up, then you're not paying attention to who's speaking. And I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about Jonathan or this church or our praise team. I'm talking about God the Father speaks in His Word and calls you beloved. What an amazing thing. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we are in awe that You would call us Your children. Father, that You would send Your Son to redeem us. Lord, that You would reach out and sacrifice Your sweet Son to die upon the cross that we might too also be called Your children, Your beloved. Help us, Lord, to pay attention to Your admonition this morning. Help us, Father, to know Your word, Your will, Your way in our lives today. And Father, help us that we might find tears of joy in knowing that You call us Your beloved. And Father, we just commit this time to You and ask Your blessing upon Your word through Your Spirit. And we ask these things through Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Each pronouncement that we're going to look at in this third chapter of 2 Peter is an admonition that God gives us. Okay, I'm old. Don't tell anybody, okay? Oh, I hear you laughing. I'm old. And when I was a little kid, and yes, I was a little kid, there were children back in the days of dinosaur. But when I was a little kid, about 8 years old, when I'd go out of my house on Simsbury, I can tell you there were times my mom would give me all kinds of admonitions. This was the day when, as an 8 year old, you could go and roam the entire neighborhood and you didn't fear for your life. And I can always remember my mom greeting me at the door and saying, before I went out, look both ways before you cross the street. You know, I knew that. I knew I wasn't supposed to run into the street and become a speed bump, but my mom would tell me that every time I went out the door. There's all kinds of things that your mother will tell you as you go out that door. Maybe don't take a ride from a stranger, or don't do this. Now, the strangest one my mother would tell me, and you'll have to forgive me for this, this is old school, but I don't know why, but my mom would say, do you have unclean underwear? Because if you get in an accident, you're going to go to the hospital. What? I'll tell you what, I've been working for Ohio Health for several years. I have never yet seen anybody in the ER check a patient's underwear to see if it's clean. But my mom would send me out with that admonition. And I always feared if I didn't have on clean underwear, I really shouldn't go outside the house. Well, she did that because she loved me. You know, I miss my mom. And I love my mom, and I look back on those admonitions with love and respect and appreciation. I loved her. And she loved me. God gives us here four admonitions before we go outside this door today. And those four admonitions are made to his beloved. So we're going to look at those four admonitions today. First, it starts out in verse 1, and he says, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. Ooh, there's that word, beloved. Do you understand? That's your name. Put your name in there. Because if you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you are beloved. He says, this is the second time I've had to write to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Beloved, be mindful, verses 1 through 7. The key here is in that verse 1, he says, I want you to remember. I've been instructing you. I've been showing you. I've been guiding you. I've been protecting you. Now, I want you to remember as you go outside this door, be careful. Remember. When you leave this place, whether you're at home or whether you're here at the church, when you leave this place, do you leave the message behind? Not that what I have to say is amazing, but what this has to say is astounding. And if you're leaving it behind, you're not being mindful, you're being forgetful. God says, beloved, I want you to be mindful, to remember. And he goes on, he says, the prophets and the apostles have written all these things, and the disciples, he talks about the fact that this word, this truth that we read is the inspired word of God. It's God-breathed. It's Holy Spirit-led. It's not by the definition of man. It is by God himself. That's what makes this book so astounding and amazing. And he says, I want you to be mindful. Not to be like the scoffers that are out there who want to tell you, don't listen to this. This is dated. This is cultural. This is old time stuff. This isn't important. My friends, this is the foundation upon which lives are built. Upon which lives are redeemed. We need to be mindful. And he points to the second coming in verses 3 and 4, he says, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Have we seen that go on? Have men, women, children all gone to their own desires and said, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I feel like doing? Are there scoffers in this world, in this culture? Yeah. Are there scoffers even in the church? Well, in the last chapter, Peter said yes. And he says there are scoffers who are going to make fun of such things. And he goes on and he says, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? What's he talking about? He's talking about the second coming of Christ. Christ had said from the very beginning that he was going to come again. And so many of the scoffers will look at the condition of the world and say, oh, if God loved you, he'd have sent his son already. Where is he? And of course, we tend to buy into that, don't we? We don't want to be confrontational. We don't want to be ignorant. And we say, well, I don't know. I don't know why God hasn't done that yet. And God says, don't even listen to their stupidity. And in the last chapter, he called them ignorant, like dogs returning to their vomit. Is that the person you want to follow? Is that the person you want to be mindful of? You know, they cannot see eternity. I have the sad burden of seeing many people who go into eternity unprepared for eternity. They have lived for the here and now and never prepared for the then and eternal. It's going to be a sad shock to them. It's going to be an eternal shock to them. My heart aches for people who think this is it. My friends, this is not it. As we've said many times, the best is yet to come. This is not it. If this was it, then we are all lost. But God says there is eternity. Sometimes we doubt it too, don't we? I know, I struggle. I see struggles of humanity. I see struggles of family. I see struggles of individuals. And I think, oh God, where are you? Even David asked that very same question. Oh God, how long will we endure this? And he said, my pillow is a pillow of tears. That's because this is not the end. We are in the waiting room, if you will. We've got great things ahead, but we've got to keep focused on eternity, not the here and now. You need to be responsible. You need to pay attention, but the best is yet to come. This isn't it. God is still here. God is still sovereign. God has not left us. I love, and I've shared this with him many times, I love sharing with many of my patients Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. 5 says, for God himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then verse 6 goes on to say, therefore, we have this knowledge that God is with us. What have we to fear? We judge God's presence by the circumstances, and that's not how to do it. If we did that with our other family and friends, we would think they were always gone. But my friends, God says he is here. He is now. Keep looking to eternity. God is going to judge this world. And that's a sad reality. They will say, where is the promise of this coming? And then verse 5, and they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water through the very water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water. He says, this world's been judged before. It's going to be worse. He says, I want you to keep thinking about what I've shown you through the scriptures, through the prophets, through the apostles, through the stories, through the examples, through the testimonies that I am with you. Be mindful. And then he goes on in verse 8, and he says, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Verse 8 says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day to the Lord. We look at the year 2020. This has been quite a year, hasn't it? Okay, we've had everything from pandemics to unrest to, I saw a report on the news just last week that India is being inundated with locusts, unlike they've had in decades. We've got murder wasps. Come on, really? This is a year. But I'm telling you, this is nothing. Really. This is nothing. Men view history in days and years. God says, I live in millennia. He looks at the here and now. He looks at what is always present, not at what is past. 1,000 years is to God one day. I love Psalm 90, which verse 4, which has that same verse. 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord. Man, sometimes I have one day that seems like 1,000 years. But the reality is, God says, He is here. Don't be ignorant of His presence. And then He goes on, I love verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some would count slowness. Again, we have people saying, wait, where is your God? How come He's not correcting this? How come He's not making this right? But this verse says, He is not slow, but patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach, great word, repentance. Where is God? He's waiting. He is more patient as a father than I have ever been. He is more patient as a leader than anyone else has ever been. Why? Because He wants to see everyone come to repentance. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that we understand we are sinners. God created us. God made us. God breathed life into us. And then we rejected Him. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you think you're not a sinner, you're fooling yourself, but nobody else. If you think that you don't have sins in your life punishable by judgment, then my friend, you're not paying attention. God says, you're a sinner. But then He sent His Son, the one who never sinned, the Holy One. And I love the fact that it says that if you confess Him as your Savior, you shall be saved. It's not a matter of what you do. It's not a matter of where you go to church. It's not a matter of what you pay. It's none of that. It is accepting Jesus Christ as that Lord and Savior, that redemption from that sin. It's a free gift. I've had people say, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough to go to heaven. I can tell you, you're not. Only Christ can get us to heaven. But my friend, if you have Christ as your Savior, then you are good enough to go to heaven. Wow. But God loves everyone here that He created so much that He is willing to wait and endure through the year 2020. Sometimes I look at this year and I think the second coming is going to be soon. But He is not slow. He is doing it all in His time. And because we don't see His time, understand His schedule, that doesn't make it wrong, and it doesn't make it a myth. It just means He's in charge. Beloved, don't be ignorant. He will do as He promises. Look at the first inundation or judgment of the world where He flooded the world. He said it's going to happen. And 100 years later, after Noah got the ark built, it happened. Nobody believed it, except for the 7 that entered the ark and survived. Don't be one of those people that don't believe that Christ is coming back and be left outside that way of salvation. He is not slow to fulfill His promises. Why does He delay? He does not wish any to perish. He wants more that He calls beloved. It may be the person sitting beside you. It may be a person in your family, in your neighborhood, in your school, at work, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And my friend, if the second coming happens, it will be the day of judgment. And there's no second chance. Why does he delay? He wants them to. And the day of judgment is coming. I look at verse 10 and he says, but the day of the Lord, that's a day of judgment, will come like a thief when the heavens will pass away with a roar and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved and the earth and the works that are done on it shall be exposed. We can't hide anything from God. He sees every mistake, every sin I make. And why he leaves me here, I do not understand. But he does, because he wants more beloveds. The day of the Lord is judgment. It's a great tribulation. Whereas the judgment of the earth before was just the earth, this one says the heavenly bodies will be burned up. Do you understand? There's no place on earth that will survive. In fact, there's no place in the universe that will survive. In fact, it seems to indicate that there's no place in the galaxy that will survive this judgment. Are you ready? Are you ready? It doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 100 years old, you have to be ready with Jesus Christ. Don't be ignorant. And then he says, it will come like a thief in the night. You're not going to know it. You know, we all look at the prophecies, and we look at what's going on in the world, we think, oh, it's going to be tomorrow. And then the next day, no, I think it's going to be tomorrow. Okay, maybe next day, it's going to be next year. But we keep looking and we think it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. You know what? We're not going to see it coming. It's going to be like a thief in the night. And we'll be unbelievable. The world thinks peace comes through mankind, but I'm telling you there's going to be judgment. Don't be ignorant. Beloved, do not be ignorant. Beloved, be mindful. And then verse 11, he goes into and says, beloved, be diligent. It's not enough to know that it's coming. You've got to be ready. Okay? Look at verse 11. It says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Okay, all this stuff is going to perish. So what is our life going to be like to reflect our preparation, our mindfulness, our, if you will, mindfulness of ignorance? We need to be ready for that day, and we need to do it in the way that we live. It's the third time that Peter mentions being diligent in this book. In chapter 1, he mentioned it in verse 5 and verse 10. As his children redeemed, he says in verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. When the judgment comes, we need to be spotless and at peace. I have a sister-in-law who is very crafty. And for my graduation from seminary, she gave this to me. I love it. It's the words of Jonathan Edwards. It's a plaque I've had in my office ever since I've been in ministry and beyond. And it says, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Oh, what will he find you doing? Being diligent? Or being destructive. Not peace in this world. There's not going to be hope in this world. The only peace and hope comes in the new heavens and the new earth. Christ will reign, not men. We are not here to be leaders. We are to be here to be children. Christ will reign and keeps us looking forward to that day when he comes. It should motivate us. In every action we take, in every word we say, in the way we treat one another. If you're not treating one another in love, in kindness, in Christ-likeness, then my friends, you're failing to be diligent as God wants you to be. Beloved, be diligent. Does your faith and the truth and the knowledge of God's word make a difference in your life? Or do you blend in pretty well? You know, a lot of us, myself included, blend in very well. We need to stand up. We need to be diligent. We need to be changed. We need to be God's people and showing the difference that Jesus Christ makes in a life. That's why he calls us his beloved. We are beloved because of Christ. Can we not love others in the same way? Can we not show that same love to those others? Beloved, be diligent. And then he finally ends up by saying, beloved, I want you to beware. Verses 15 through 18 say, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. And he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist in their own destruction as they do other scripture. He says, first off, I think it's interesting that Peter calls Paul's writings scripture. You understand what scripture is. We've already talked about it briefly, and that is the inspired, spirit-spoken, God-breathed word of truth. That's what the word is. Oh, he may have used men as instruments of inscription, but I'll tell you what, it's his holy word. And he says, you've got God's holy word, his scriptures, and sometimes it's hard to understand, but you know what? Beware. It is the warning, the truth upon which we can build our lives and live in such a way that we are ready. Others will twist and disregard that word, but Peter says we need to be wary. We need to be aware. And he asks why Jesus hasn't returned again, because he is still calling. And some don't understand God's plan. And some see it as confusion. And so that confusion amongst. We need to trust. And he goes on and says in verse 17, you therefore, beloved, know this beforehand. Take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Listen to God, not men. Oh, there are some great teachers out there. There are some great, wonderful preachers, teachers, godly humanitarians. But where do we find our truth? Where are we wired for knowledge? Only in God's Word. How do we keep from failing? Well, he says in verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow. You know what? We had that in the first chapter. Growth. And he gave all those different steps of growth that can be evident in a Christian's life. We need to be growing. You know what? If you're not changing, if you're not growing, if you're not maturing, then maybe you're not in the Word like you need to be. I love that James says, faith without works is dead. What he's basically saying is, if you have faith and it doesn't affect your life, then it's not faith at all. We need to be growing in Jesus Christ, in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be growing closer to Him every single day of our life. Otherwise, we are not being wary. We need to grow in the trustworthy knowledge that God has given us through His Word. Peter says, grow in grace and knowledge, knowledge of Christ in the Scriptures. We can look at all the wonderful things that are out there, wonderful stories, wonderful movies, wonderful other things, but I'll tell you what, the place to go to learn about Christ and know it unabashedly is the Word of God. That's it. I don't have anything else I can draw on and trust in. It is the Word of God. There is danger in growth of knowledge without grace. He says, grow in grace and knowledge. It's not enough for us to grow in knowledge. It should produce in us grace. Your knowledge of God's Word should change your actions towards His children, His creation, towards His throne. grow in grace and knowledge. Not grace or knowledge. It's not an either or proposition. It is a full set. One affects the other. We can't have grace without knowledge. We can't have knowledge without grace. We need to grow in grace and knowledge. We should learn and live in the Word. Peter warns us to have a balanced life. And he goes on to say, to him be the glory both now and forever, until the day of eternity. Amen. We're celebrating Independence Day this weekend, aren't we? We're celebrating freedom in this country. It's a new concept called America. Oh, it's 240 years old, but it's a new concept of freedom. But I'll tell you what. The true freedom comes in knowledge of God's truth, in growth, in His grace. If you're celebrating freedom, this is where it starts. I love that in John 8:32 it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Are you free? Are you really free? Oh, you can be USA free, but you're not free. You can be philosophically free, but you're not free. You can be any number. You can be financially free. But I'm telling you, my friends, apart from Jesus Christ, you don't even know what freedom is. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This book is a book that deals with knowledge. Trustworthy knowledge, treacherous knowledge, oh, and the joy of triumphant knowledge. Because we have Jesus Christ. He's warned us. He's called us His beloved. He's put us at the front door and said, look both ways before you cross the street. He has given us admonitions. Now the question is, what will you do with it? I love the invitation that He gives us to knowledge. You may be here today. You may be listening to this today, and you know you've heard that name Jesus. You've heard Bible verses before. You've been to churches before. But I'm telling you, if you are here today, if you're listening to this today, and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you have no reason to celebrate freedom this weekend. If you want to know more about that, this is where to look. Have you acknowledged your need? Have you given your trust, your heart, your faith to Jesus Christ to pay for something you could never pay for? Have you known freedom in Christ? If you have, then be careful. Be diligent. Be aware. Be mindful. And understand that the day of judgment is coming. For those who are free, it is a day of release. For those who do not know freedom, it is a day of dread. Where are you today? Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we marvel that you would call sinners such as ourselves beloved. We are so thankful that you have given your Son, your only Son, to die upon the cross for such a wretch like me. Father, we are so thankful that you have promised eternity because of His sacrifice upon the cross. Help us to know what it means to have your Son as our Savior, to find that confidence, that freedom, that independence, that grace that comes through that knowledge. Father, make us wired for knowledge that we might celebrate who you are and what you have done. Lord, we thank you again for your great grace, for your gift of truth. Father, for the salvation through the blood of your Son. We thank you for all these things in Christ's name.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.